turning your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, please. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Christians should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Amen? So, amen. So, even when Brother Tyler breaks the mic, we'll still be happy, and it'll be all right. So, all right. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And Ecclesiastes is a very interesting book written by Solomon, who was the wisest, richest, most powerful king of Israel. Yet, there will be one who is much greater than Solomon. Amen. But that is who he was, and he writes and he shares some personal thoughts here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And you read chapter 1, and quite honestly, it's depressing. He's not in a good place. He gets to a point where he starts searching for something that he feels like he's missing. And all of us, the devil would tempt all of us to do that. But here's a man who had everything. Here's a man who could do anything. And what's interesting, in chapter 2 and in verse number 17, he says these words, "Therefore, I hated life." What an interesting statement. The man who had everything, the man who could do anything, he says, "I hate life." I've had, unfortunately, more than one said in front of me that has looked at me and said, "I just hate my life." There may be someone listening this morning that those thoughts have come across your mind, that you kind of have no reason to go on. You've come to hate your life, and you see nothing out there that can ever change it for the better. I mean this with all my heart. I believe God wants us to enjoy life. I believe God wants... I am an earthly father, which means I'm imperfect in so many ways. But nothing gives me more joy than to see my children enjoying life. And our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, would only desire that and so much more. Even the Old Testament says we don't even know half the thoughts that God has for us and the intentions that God has for us of peace and joy and blessings in our life. God wants us to enjoy this life that we live. You know, and I'm busy just like everybody else is. I have trials just like everyone else has trials. But your joy throughout this life should be something that remains. That's what marks the believer against the lost person, is that no matter what we go through, we have hope. We have God's presence. We have God's strength. We have God's word. You know, I've told you this many times when I went to I don't know how many funerals I've preached in my life, and what a difference there are between those who know the Lord and those who have no hope. I sat down in Milford whenever one of the young men at Milford got tragically killed a few years ago, and I went to the funeral, and I sat there. The place was packed out. People were sitting outside. They had speakers outside so people could hear what was going on, but no one knew the Lord. And I watched as children, young teenagers, would just grab their head and scream and run out the door. And people literally couldn't stand. There's a group outside, and I was just walking in. They said, "I can't go in there. I cannot face this. I cannot do this." And without God, what hope have you? But with God, that changes everything. Amen? So no matter what I go through, God is with me. And I believe God wants us to have joy in this life. I don't believe that we are to live according to our lust and our flesh. But as believers, we should be happy. We should have joy. And in the midst of trials, have joy. And yeah, God wants you. He created this world. He could have made everything in black and white. But he didn't. He painted it beautifully. Amen. You know, when we were with the guys out in Colorado, we stopped on the side of this hillside, and we saw park rangers, right, Daniel? And we saw all kinds of things, but no bears. It was sad. But we stopped at this one point and just looked, and it was just gorgeous. And I said to the guys, I was like, well done, God. It was just beautiful. That's what God does. God wants us, because why would he want us? Again, I'm not excusing trials and heartaches. Those happen, but God is with us, and we can still have, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. But I believe one of the reasons why God wants us, because what is our ultimate purpose? From the moment you got saved, what is God's purpose for you in this world? To glorify the Lord, right? So that people will see in us how great our God is. So why would that God want us to be depressed all the time? Why would that God want us to be miserable? Life is terrible, right? How would that bring glory to him? Amen? I mean, if all we're ever doing is tripping over our own bottom lip, and everyone that walks up to us, they're afraid to ask us how it's going because they know we're going to get 30 minutes of terrible news. I know people like that, don't you? Right? I mean, why would God want that? Of course he doesn't. He wants us. He does not want his children to say, I hate life. He has come, what did he say? To give us life, and life more abundant. So why would God want his children to say, I hate life? I mean, last night I'm mowing, and my phone went off, and I stopped, and it was a video that someone had sent me. And there's this little baby laughing. It was awesome. But the reason they sent it to me is because they named the baby after me. Isn't that awesome? I have a baby named after me. Isn't that so cool? It's just awesome. Middle, yeah, right? Brother Jordan's going to make it, yeah, right? Yeah. If you go down to Goshen Grind right now, not now, be in church. And you want an iced tea, Pastor Burke style? I got my own iced tea. Oh, yeah? I have arrived, man, right? Yeah. No, I mean, God wants you to enjoy this life. Dad would always say, life's an adventure, right? Just enjoy the life that God has for you. The problem is this, when we start thinking our own way and we lose our perspective, we can all hate life. But I want you to know God doesn't want you to hate life. Now what happened? Why? How could Solomon? Now again, we may be able to talk and like convince people why, you know, well, they actually have reason to be pretty sad. We could probably do that, right? Because, you know, how many of us have the riches of Solomon? No one. How many of us have the authority of Solomon? Nobody. How many of us are ruling over an entire, you know, small empire? None of us, right? None of us have that, right? He had it all. And he got to a point where he said, I hate life. How could that happen? Let's start reading verse number 1 of chapter number 2. And I want you to catch something here as we go through, all right? But I want you to see, here's point number 1, how Solomon ended up hating life. Number 1, because he got the wrong purpose. Wrong purpose. Let's start reading verse number 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there is no profit under the sun. Anyone see a problem? Yeah, right? He was so, became so centered upon himself. When we, listen, you can be sitting in here this morning and sing, are you washed in the blood? I mean, worship the Lord, say amen, and by the end of the week, hating life. When you get the wrong purpose. His purpose had become himself. Our purpose has already been talked about this morning. Our ultimate purpose after salvation is to glorify God. That's what life's all about. That's where, listen to me, joy is found. Solomon did some amazing things in this chapter. I mean, you start reading some of the things he did. I don't endorse all of them, but humanly speaking, he did it all. Yet he hated life. In 11 verses, there are 44 personal pronouns. 44. What? It wasn't what he was doing necessarily, but look at me. It was who he was doing it for. And when our life becomes about, and listen, if you're struggling with, you know, you just, I have had no joy in life. I hate life. If those thoughts or those words have been across your lips and your mind or someone that you know, you need to listen to the sermon this morning, all right? The problem is this, his purpose had become himself. And when your life's purpose is yourself, you lose your life's purpose. Because your flesh can never be satisfied. My flesh can never. That's why the Bible talks about Jesus said these words, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Lose his own soul. I mean, everything the world has to offer is nothing to be compared to the spiritual. Life is full of tasks. Life is full of jobs. Life is full of possessions. But life is not about those things. God wants to take all of those things and use it for the glory of God. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Why were you created? That's a great question, right? And I say it's a great question because people have asked that. I don't even know what my purpose is. You have a purpose. Revelation talks about it very clearly in Revelation chapter number 4. We were created for His pleasure. That doesn't mean like we're some, you know, puppets out there that we're entertaining God. It means this, that we're there for the glory and the honor and the reverence of God. And He gets joy and honor and reverence in seeing us enjoy this life that He's given to us. Because again, I go back, what glory am I giving to God if I'm so sad I never get out of my house? I'm not talking about people who physically cannot. I'm talking about people that are just closed up the doors because they hate life. What glory are you giving to God? What glory is being given to God every time you walk out and your neighbor says good morning, you say whatever? What glory is given to God? God wants us to live a life that brings glory to Him. And so He gets glory through our life, being able to enjoy this life and live a life that's honoring to the Lord. We were created for that purpose. Why are you on this earth? What's your purpose? To glorify God. Amen. Now, God will give you jobs, and God will give you tasks, and God will give you possessions. You know, God has given us a dog so me and Hope can get joy out of that and to help my wife learn patience, right? Yeah. You know, God gives you things, but for the glory. Everybody catch? Here's what I'm trying to say, all right? God has called me this point in my life to be a pastor for one purpose: to glorify Him. God may change my task. I don't know that He is, but God may change my task, but He will never change my purpose. I need you to catch it, because that will help every one of us in this life. God has given me the privilege and the responsibilities of being a husband. God has given me the privilege and the great responsibility of being a father. God may change that task someday. Matter of fact, the chances of my wife and I both passing away at the same moment is very minuscule. One of us will outlive the other. Our task may change, but our purpose will never change. God may call me to go to a mission field. My task may change, but my purpose does not. Are you following that? Life sometimes changes, doesn't it? Our situation, our relationships, our jobs, our ministries. And though our task may change and our possessions may change, I have a house I plan to go to this evening. God forbid, but it could be burnt to the ground when I get home. And my possessions may change, but my purpose will not change. You see, life will go through a lot of different things. But if those who hate life are because they've mistaken their task and their possessions for their purpose. I know it's Sunday morning, I'm making you really think a lot, right? But are you following that? That's why mom can get up and teach Sunday school. Amen. Life has changed, but her purpose is not. And I could go across the auditorium and we could share stories. And those who love life have found the secret that my purpose is just to glorify God. And no matter where the tasks are and what the possessions are and what the situation is, if it's all still for the glory of God, I will be able to get through. Doesn't change the hurt, doesn't change the sorrow, doesn't change the trial. But what it does, it gives us that hope and that confidence that I'm just going to let God, and my life wants to be about glorifying God. Now we can expand this, and I could preach for the next 45 minutes on the fact that this, and don't worry, I'm not. But our life should be about to glorify God. And so when all of a sudden, what you can wear, you get mad at because certain things are preached on. Your purpose has become about what you can do and not what it's all about, the glory of God. Because if your purpose is to glorify God, why would I want to do anything that might take glory away from God? Amen? When my purpose is to glorify God, it's easy to make life's decisions and how I live and what I say and where I go and everything about my life. It makes it easier to make those decisions because can I give glory to God? And if that's removed and you can't, then you should remove that. You say, oh, I don't want to. Well, your purpose is wrong. And chances are, if you continue down that path, you're going to be sitting there in a dark room one day saying, I hate life. Because you're turning the focus on what you want which is what Solomon did. He had concerts, parties, pools, gardens. I mean, I could go on a lot. Whatever his mind thought, this will make me happy, but it didn't. Those things robbed him of that bringing the glory to God. So number one, he ended up saying, I hate life, because he had the wrong purpose, which was and should be to glorify God. Number two, I believe he ended up staying in a place where he hated life because number two, he had the wrong plan. He had the wrong plan. See, what do you mean, the wrong plan? Verse number 15 says, then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. What did he say? He said, what's the point? Now he's going to say, next verse, therefore, I hate life. Now why? Because he came to this false thinking. If I live, and a lot of people would be lying if these thoughts hadn't gone through your mind. If I live sold out for God, and I live for the Lord, and I walk in wisdom in the way of God, I'm going to die just like the drunkard. I mean, how many of us know people that were lost that died of cancer? We all, probably. How many of us know people that are saved that died of cancer? Yeah. How many of us know people that were lost that their sin led them and they got drunk out of their mind, they had a terrible car accident and their whole life changed? Probably a lot of us. How many of us know believers that the sin wasn't there, but they had a terrible car accident and their life suddenly changed? Right? So Solomon got to the point where he said, what's the point? Why should I live according the end is the same? Why should I be sold out for God? I mean, I know this preacher, I mean, they're as sold out as they can be, and terrible things happen in their family. I know missionaries that surrendered their life to God. They lost their spouse out on the field. Now, it's really personal. It's hard to amen these things, but that's what Solomon was thinking. And a lot of us have had those thoughts too. He had the wrong plan because he said, why should I obey God? Why should I live according to the wisdom? He had the wrong plan because, listen, it's always best to obey the Lord. Amen. You say, now, preacher, you just said, well, I know. You say, well, so what if I'm wise? The fool dies just like the wise. I know. Well, so what if I'm dedicated and I go to church? Tragedies happen and there's sorrows and trials and deaths just like they are to the people that are, you know, living on the streets and sitting in the bars. I know. So you know what Solomon did? He went that direction. He got himself many wives, filled his life with women, idolatry. He built groves. He did everything he could to please himself. According to the Bible here, he tipped the wine bottle. He involved himself with folly. He built himself houses, luxury, pools, possessions, riches. He did everything he could just to try. I'm just going to try this life. He disregarded what God had said. Not to build groves and idols, but he did. You're not to have this relationship with Egypt, but he did. He disregarded the commands of God and the principles of God and the direction of God. And then he hated life. He hated life. This wrong thinking wasn't in his life when he was walking in the ways of God. It's when he started this relationship with Egypt. It's when he started the little things that started to go. And as the little things began to go, his mind began to wander. You see, he didn't think about pleasures and all these things until he saw some of the riches in Egypt. You see, these things started to pull on him as he drifted away from the Lord. I'm going to make a statement because it's founded upon the Word of God. Joy is found in the way of God. The way of the transgressor is hard. You know why believers get to a point? Because they just hate life. Because life gets hard. You see, but life's hard for people that are walking in the ways of God. It is sometimes. But those who are walking in the ways of God, and I've not always been there. I've drifted just like you have. But the fact is this, those who are walking in the ways of God, your mind stays focused on the things of God. You know God is with you. You know God will strengthen you. You know God will get you through this. And the strength of God and the supernatural comfort of God and the power of God will begin to work in your life. And even though we will face tragedies just like the lost, it is that hope within us that is only found in a close relationship with the Lord. I say it really simply. If you go out and live according to the pleasures of your own flesh and your own lust and the things of the world, do not be surprised when you end up hating life. Because it will not meet the void in the needs that you have spiritually. The prodigal son thought he could go out there and find it, right? But he came to realize when he tried it all that there was something back home. That was all he ever wanted. Solomon, praise the Lord, would come back to the right thinking, but he's at this point where he's just thinking, well, I'm just going to live for myself. And the sad part is, and so many churches have so many, unfortunately, that we want all of the churchy outcomes, you know, the happily ever afters, the blessings of God in our life. But we want to go by it through a worldly lifestyle. And you can't. You can't. If you want the blessings of God, you got to be all in. Amen. That's what Jude talks about when it says keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's what the Bible's teaching. We walk with Him and this hedge of protection that is there in our life and all these different things. Listen, as long as you are walking in the light, you have fellowship with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. But if you begin to walk in the ways of darkness, you can say you have fellowship with the Lord, but John said this very bluntly, you lie. That's what he said. I mean, you take Daniel. Come up here real quick, right? You take Daniel here. I can't roam too far. I got to stay close to the mic. So you have to come all the way up here on the pulpit. I'm just going to turn the pulpit over. You can preach now the rest of the sermon. All right? All right. Here's Daniel. All right? And Daniel, this is some nice carpet, right? I can make a little plush little line, right? I make a circle around Daniel. As Daniel walks with the Lord, and as Daniel sits there, and he goes to the Lord, he talks to God, he lives his life according to how he knows God wants him to live, and he's just dedicated. He keeps himself in the love of God. It doesn't mean that God keeps loving him because he's doing it. He enjoys the love of God. He has that peace, that life, and life more abundant. But when Daniel sees the things of the world and he steps outside of this and he starts to try some of these other things, God didn't move. God's word didn't change. But when he steps out of this, he's asking not for the blessings of God, but now he's asking for the chastening of God. If he is a child of God, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And God will chasten him to a point where Daniel realizes what he's doing is wrong, and he desires to get back into this. That's the purpose of chastening. So that Daniel desires to be back where he is because he wants the blessings of God in his life. But if Daniel steps outside of this and now he's living with the chastening of God and the repercussions of sin, the way of the transgressor is what?
Hard.
And he comes to a point because some of the most miserable people on the face of this earth are Christians who have left the way of God. And now he's sitting here and his way is hard. He looks up to heaven and he says, I hate life. Nothing's going right. I don't understand. I'm trying. I'm a decent person. I'm not like they are. But he sits there and his life becomes miserable. There are so many Christians today that don't understand the joy of God. Their marriage is a mess. Their children are a mess. Their home's a mess. Their workplace is a mess. Everything about them, they don't have peace at night. And they're just wondering, what's wrong? You need to step back where God wants you to be. And praise God, it comes if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. The way of the transgressor is hard. But there is that straight and narrow. And my friends, Daniel, when you step back into that, there is life and life more abundant. Jesus prayed, I pray that my sorrows and my heartaches and my trials will always be on them. No, he prayed that my joy might remain in them. That doesn't mean bad things won't happen. But the Lord endured whatever trial because he saw before him what remained. For the child of God, even at the ultimate worst that this world can throw at you with death and sorrows, someday there's a reunion coming. Amen? So I may sorrow and grieve, but someday. Then you say, well, you're trying to live for God, Daniel. And look, you know, your truck messed up.
Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah, right? You know, look what happened. You go through the trials. You lost your job. You know, whatever, fill in the blank, your health is bad. Whatever it is. You're trying to serve God and you give. And now look, you had the bad doctor's report. And Daniel says, because he's standing here where God wants him, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. God in his troubles will come and be very present in his life. And as he opens his Bible, even sometimes with a heart that is broken, he'll read the scripture that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God promises that as we walk where he would have us walk, God's presence and joy will be there. Thanks, Daniel. Solomon got to a point where he said, I just don't want to obey God. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And we got to be careful that we don't mistake sitting in church for being right with God. They just, I think you should be in church. But you can sit in church and not be right with God. Are you following what this book says? He had a purpose that was wrong. Our purpose is to glorify God. He had a plan that was wrong. Why should I live according to wisdom? We need to obey God. And the third thing and last thing is this. He had a wrong perspective. He had a wrong perspective. And I'll close, but verse number 3, he said, I sought. In verse number 11, he says, I looked. Verse number 12, I turned myself to behold. Verse 13, then I saw. He had a wrong perspective. He was looking at everything through human eyes instead of seeing things as God sees them. Our viewpoint is very limited. But God's viewpoint is unfathomable. Some of you are on, you know, you take like some of these social media things. You take like Snapchat. You can choose a filter. Now, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you're a blessed person. But if you do, There's filters. And people will see the picture according to the filter that you put on it. And a lot of times we as humans look at life through our human filter. And looking at life through a human filter, a lot of what you do looks foolish. We went yesterday and had my grandma turned 90. We had a little birthday party for her up in Dayton, and my nephew Zach was sitting at a different table where we were, and he put a filter on and took a picture of my wife. She had these cool sun shades on. She had a mullet on her head, and it's a pretty weird filter. And he sent us a picture of it. We all laughed about it because it wasn't real, but it makes it look pretty real. A lot of people look at things like tithing and they're like, how's that work? Because through your human filter, that don't make sense. Right. But through God's filter, I can't imagine not tithing. God has been so faithful. You can sit there and say, well, it just don't work. My bills are paid. He said, well, you have needs. I do. And God just is amazing. God is good. Through our human filter, I'll never quit grieving. But through our God filter, in but a moment in heaven's perspective, we'll all be together again. Through our human filter, look at all these laws I have to follow. Through our God filter, look at all the opportunities I have to bring glory to Him. It depends how you look at these things. We have to take off our worldly vision and put on His vision. And Solomon got it. Solomon finally got this. He understood it. As you end the book of Ecclesiastes, just turn over there, familiar passage of Scripture in chapter number 12. And in verse number 13, Solomon, he's kind of spiraled in his life and made some wrong choices. But verse number 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ready? Number one, fear God. My life ought to be about Him. Everything I do be for His reverence, for His glory. Amen. Not for mine. He got his purpose right, the glory of God. And secondly, keep His commandments. I'm going to have the right plan. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to walk in the wisdom He's given me. I'm going to do what I know is right to do. And thirdly, he saw this as the whole duty of man because he saw things as God sees it. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, someday. He got the right perspective. I'm going to stand before God. And all that's going to matter is what I did for Him. He got His purpose and His perspective and His plan right. And then Solomon could do what he should do. You say, well, that's an interesting story. Well, it says, turn over. 1 Peter, we'll close in prayer. 1 Peter chapter number 3, turn over there. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And look for God's glory, the right purpose. Look for the right plan in obeying God. In the right perspective to see things as God does, for one day we'll stand before Him. As Peter summarizes what he's been talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Peter's just repeating the same thing. If you want to love life and see good days, amen, you got to have the right purpose. Glory to God. You got to have the right plan. I'm going to obey the word of God. And you got to have the right perspective. I have to see life as God sees it, and knowing that one day I will stand before him. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, please come today and be saved. That is the ultimate way to give glory to God, by trusting in him as your Savior. And to everyone else, are you loving life? Or do you hate it? Because if you hate it, there's the answer. Respond correctly.